idea until they slipped out of a dude's mouth and cracked his clavicle, you know? Felt bad. Play with fire. So I'm half black and half white, that's what this is. Half black and half white. Hashtag half my life matters, you know? I'm gonna make shirts, I swear to God, half my life matters, I'm so excited. But I am half black and half white. Everyone thinks I'm Spanish, that's the one thing that they think I am, and that's the one thing that I'm not. You know, and they don't believe me. They just think I'm lazy, don't speak Spanish. I'm not Spanish, you know? Then they find out I'm 34 and I don't have kids, and they're like, okay, we totally believe you, all right. Not Latina, just unwanted.
All right, we're live in the green room of Cobb's Comedy Club, world famous Cobb's Comedy Club. This is Sam Marcoux. This is Predictably Drunk. This is smart people talking about stupid things. And I'm here with the lady of the hour, just got off stage, just killed it for about 15 minutes at least, Miss Chelsea Beer. Hello, Chelsea.
Was it 15 minutes?
You were just about 15 minutes, yeah.
Get out of here.
Oh, you're killing
man,
me.
I went.
You blew that light like crazy.
Yeah, I was like, what? What light? What?
No, you were.
I thought I was the headliner.
So what do we have? We have about like 300 people in the audience
tonight? Yeah, yeah. It's a good-sized crowd tonight.
Great crowd. They were laughing at your shit. They
yeah.
love your shit.
Yeah.
This is great. So we're here in San Francisco. And you're from this area originally, correct?
I am. I was raised in Benicia.
Benicia.
Which even Californians don't really know Benicia. It's really, really tiny.
It's tucked in between San Francisco and Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken, right? Somewhere in there?
That's a really good guess, Sam, actually. I like that. That's accuracy smart. Is very, very much a part of this podcast.
This is smart people talking about stupid things, Chelsea. I know things, right? So it's in between there somewhere.
And actually, Benicia was the state capital before Sacramento. Did you know that?
I did. I've known that for at least 5 seconds now.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was the capital for 13 months, and then everyone was like, oh, just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, once they realized it was fucking Benicia,
right.
And it's right there by one of the worst bridges in Northern California,
right.
Like, let's get rid of this
yeah.
and move it.
Yeah. we don't want to advertise about this, yeah.
So you were born in Benicia?
No, I was born in Southern California.
Oh, okay.
And then I was raised in Benicia. I was there for most of my life.
But
so.
You've been over on the East Coast?
Yeah, I just moved back from New York.
Yep.
I was there for 5 years.
Yep.
Doing comedy out there, got into sketch comedy, got into parodies, got into improv, really
doing
just
it
did it all out yeah. there, yeah. So then I took all my, you know, experiences and came back to Benicia. So I'm going to change the world from Benicia. So.
So how did you get into stand-up comedy? Like, how did this whole thing, I know you're doing all the different things, like you said, sketch, parodies, all
right.
that. Like, what possessed you at whatever age to say, this is what I'm going to pursue?
Cool. Well, I was on stage my very first time in 2008, and my first show was at Ice House in Pasadena.
Beautiful, beautiful
which
stage.
Which is a great, yep. great club. I love it.
Yep.
And it holds a special place in my heart, for sure. But I have a theater background, a musical theater background and
okay.
stuff, and so I've always been on stage. Since I was a kid, always been on stage, very comfortable there.
Yeah.
But in college, I was pursuing illustration. So I was doing that just because I could, but it wasn't really where my passion lied. So then I kept auditioning for the shows and kept getting into the shows as like the lead role or the lead comedic role, the funny girl, you know, the sassy secretary type thing.
Sure.
And so I was in all these shows and I was like, man, there's something here. Then my college started offering a class called comedic acting, right?
So you went to school for comedy, basically, then.
Kind of. Because the comedic acting class, I thought, was just going to be like doing the comedy roles and plays. And I was like, this is an easy A.
Right.
Awesome. And the professors were like my directors from the show. So I was like, this is in the bag, right? So then the first day of class, he goes, all right, so your final is going to be doing 10 minutes of your own material at the Ice House in Pasadena. Half the class dropped out. No
wow.
joke. Half of them dropped out. And I was like, oh,
fuck,
I'm up for
yes,
that.
We're done.
Right. Wow. So I'm up for that. And so then it was like an 8-week, 10-week course of how to write jokes and how to create content and how to do callbacks and all this stuff. First night ever doing comedy was my final. And I never looked back.
So how did your first night go? I mean, it was at the Ice House.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a packed crowd?
Yeah.
And how did it go? Like, did you murder it?
Yeah.
You murdered
Without
your first
a doubt.
Time out.
Without
I
a doubt.
I hate you. I fucking hate you. My first time, and I've talked about it on this podcast multiple times.
Oh, I'm sure everyone will be so grateful to hear it again.
Yeah, exactly. I had about 150 people in a sports bar, and I bombed in front of my family. My family was like, I don't know this guy. Who is this
no,
guy?
No, really?
Oh, it was terrible.
Oh,
I,
my
it was
God.
So bad.
You should enroll in this class.
I might need to take a class. You might need to be my professor going forward. So you murdered it your first time
I did.
Out.
I did. I got off stage, and it's weird, because when I get off stage, that's when I get most nervous.
Right? Really?
And yeah, I get more nervous getting off stage after a performance because I'm going over my set. I'm wondering if I forgot anything.
Sure.
I'm remembering people's faces in the crowd. It's like that's when I get more nervous.
So you
nervous.
See people's faces and I don't see shit.
You don't look at people's faces?
No, like I see people, but then I immediately like black out and get back. Like,
oh
I
my
can't,
God.
Like, you, we're on stage here tonight. You and I both performed. We did very well tonight at Cobbs in San Francisco. Beautiful room, 300 people.
Great
stage.
Great.
People are laughing. I don't remember anybody in the audience.
I remember every single person.
Every single person.
In the first whatever rows the light hit.
Wow.
Yeah, because I look at everybody and I see who's laughing and I'm like, oh, cool. I got them. If someone's not laughing, I will focus on them for
you
a little
focus
bit
on the
and I will bring them back.
So you have 300 people, two people not laughing. You're going to focus on the two.
Yeah.
So you're a comedian. You're fucked up just like the rest of us.
Oh, I'm yeah, completely absolutely fucked up.
So I want to hear a little bit about your story. So, you know, you and I have done a few shows together. You're very funny. You've
Thank
always
you.
Done very well. Every time I've seen you, either whether it's at Tommy T, San Jose Improv, here at Cobbs in San Francisco.
Yeah.
All these different places. So you have kind of a unique background, not only because you're a female in the male world.
Oh,
right?
Completely.
So you have to deal with that. Like, you stick out like a sore thumb. Like, you're on a dais tonight where I think we have six or seven comics, mm-hmm. and you're the only female yet again.
Yet again.
Right?
Yeah.
The Lone Ranger, keeping the rest of us in
right.
check. On top of that, you are half black and half white, correct?
Yeah.
And you're the reverse that people would think.
Yeah, because that the normal one is having a black dad. That's the one
mother.
With a white mom.
Yeah.
You usually that's the one people see very often.
Right.
That's not me. My mom's black. Yeah.
Your mom's black and your dad's white.
White. Yeah.
And I have a friend. I grew up with a friend. Him and his two brothers, same exact way. But it stood out even further.
Right.
Than normal. Right. Like as a white person, I'm like, oh, they're a mixed race, and then you automatically assume in your head it's going to be a certain way because we all have these preconceived notions.
Right.
And then it's the other way, and it trips you out.
It does. Yeah. It weirds. Yeah. It is. It's just like it's like your mind's not ready for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now, you do a great thing, I think, on stage. And I've seen a lot of comedians in the years that I've done comedy. And beyond just the race thing, beyond just being a female in a male-dominated area, you're also very well endowed.
Yes. Yeah. I have huge boobs.
Yeah, what size are your boobs?
My boobs are G-cup.
G-cup.
G.
Those are big.
Right.
Yeah, D is considered, I would think, big.
Yeah, even when people say double D, it's like this big thing. No, I was a double D in like 6th grade.
Like, your boobs are so big that they're not even a grade in school. Like, you're
right.
a G.
Right.
That's humongous.
Yes.
So, beyond that, what's great about your comedy and what's great about you and your personality is that you don't shy away from these things. You,
right.
you talk about the fact that you're mixed race on stage. You talk about
right.
your chest on stage. And you know what? I think it's smart because it's what, like, if nobody has ever seen you before.
Exactly. Right.
They're going to make assumptions whether they want to or not about who you are. And what you do, like
right.
I'm an overweight white guy, so people are like, okay, he likes, I don't know, fucking Limp Bizkit and football, which I love football and Limp Bizkit, so they're absolutely right. But you have to, like, there's one, you can either shy away from it or mm-hmm. you can just address it head on, and you have
right.
that mentality on stage, which I think is amazing, is you're just like, I've got big boobs, I'm mixed race, I'm a girl, let's talk about it.
Yeah,
and, that's
and
awesome.
I think I have to because everyone's going to be thinking that.
Yeah.
And there's a stigma that comes with female comedians, whether they want to believe it or not, that we're not funny. People think that female comics are not as funny as men.
So one of the things that you get as a compliment, and it's got to be a backhanded compliment, is you're funny for
yes.
a girl.
Right.
Right.
Right. Or you're too like cute or pretty to be a comic. There's no way that you can make it because you're a female and you're pretty. And I'm like, okay, so that's nice. But I'm going to go on stage and I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room.
Sure.
It just happens to be attached to my body.
Right.
You know, so I just happen to be harnessing it with a bra. So I have to talk about that because it's going to be the first thing people notice.
Yeah.
If I don't bring it up, they're going to be staring at them until my whole show is over. They're not going to hear a word that I said. I have to get it out the first minute or two that I'm on stage so that we can go on to something else. That's it.
So what's the worst thing just in, you know, maybe as being a comic or even just in life when you're big chested like that? And I grew up with a mom who's got a large bust. I've got sisters who have a large bust.
Yeah.
And I grew up with nothing but females. Even the dogs and cats were fucking female.
Right.
Like, that's my entire life. I have a daughter who's obviously a girl. Like, what's the worst thing about having, like, I guess, boobs that big? I mean, is it shopping? Is it the stigma that comes with having big boobs? Because I imagine guys look at you and go, she's not smart or she's not funny as
right,
a comic.
Right,
you know, doesn't have a brain or head. She's just a body. Is that the worst or is there something else?
I've gotten all of that. And there's pros and cons about all of this. Shopping is terribly hard. I can't have a button-up shirt. I can't, you know, like, I mean, I can't wear a halter. I can't do, like, there's things that you can't do, you know, but that's fine. Who cares? But I also am very conscious about when I go outside because I have to cover up.
Sure.
So sometimes I'll dress, you know, way warmer than I should because of the weather outside, but I don't want to be accosted that day. You know, I don't want to be raped in an alley. So it's like, I'll wear a fucking jacket.
You.
Right.
Yeah.
So things like that are, I'm just very aware of them. And it's such, so second nature to me that it's not really a burden anymore. It's just how I live my life, you know? So that kind of sucks. But to be honest, what really sucks is my back pain.
Oh yeah.
If we're gonna be honest here, it's, I mean, they are heavy as shit. So, you know, when I say that on stage, I'm not lying. Everything that I say is totally true. I actually wrote a parody about it. Have you seen my parody?
I haven't seen it yet, but you have a great joke on stage about how your boobs are so heavy that one time you knew they were heavy because you were you were having sex with a guy and it popped out of the guy's mouth and broke his
and
clavicle.
Cracked his clavicle. Cracked,
that's a great joke.
Yeah, I love that. And I just liked the idea of, like, saying a bone on stage. Like, to me, that was just funny. Yeah. Like, you know, using some sort of skeletal term and turning it into a joke.
Yep.
So, that's how I did that.
You're listening to Predictably Drunk. This is Sam Marcoux, Smart People Talking About Stupid Things. I'm here with Chelsea Bierce. We're in the, I got to say, this is probably the best green room in Northern California.
And the fact that we can do a podcast upstairs while a show is going on. Kabir Singh is on stage right now.
Kabir Singh is on stage right now. Writer for Family Guy, Comedy Central special taper guy. One of our dear friends. This guy has gotten me drunk in all kinds of back alleys and shit bars all over the world for the last 2 years. But we're at Cobb's Comedy Club, and I've been here before they redid everything.
Yeah.
I thought that this is one of the best green rooms I've ever been in. Like, sometimes you go to a green room, and it's literally like you're in a locker from high school.
Right.
But you come here, and it's not only do you walk in, and it's a good, spacious, the refrigerator is stocked. There's a bathroom with a shower, which I would never go in that shower. I have a feeling there's more spackle on the shower from our fellow comedians than actual spackle. Right?
Good. I need to go and get a sample then, because...
But they just redid this whole thing. And this thing, Chelsea, it's amazing. There's a back. We're sitting in the back room with a brand new couch.
Right.
Beautiful whole area here. We're sitting here doing a podcast, like you said, with a live audience going on.
It's
in
incredible.
The background. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So where are you going with comedy? Like, what, you've started comedy. What's your end game? Has your plan changed? Or
My end goal always was to either be a writer for Saturday Night Live or be on Saturday Night Live.
So you like the whole sketch comedy thing?
I do, but there's something about stand-up. You know, I mean, even the greats, you know, even doing movies and being so famous and all that, they would still go back to stand-up. There's something so raw about stand-up. Like, you know, that's where you develop. That's where, you know, and the one-on-one you have with the audience, you can't get that anywhere else.
It's
so,
instant feedback.
100%.
Like you know if you did good or bad immediately.
Right.
And that's, I mean, for people that have, if you're, listen to me. Audience, if you're on stage and you're telling jokes, you obviously have some sort of psychosis going on in your head. There's something wrong with you, in my opinion, because normal people aren't getting on stage and looking for approval from complete strangers.
Right.
You and I are doing that.
We are.
Something. Doesn't mean we're fucked up completely.
And we want it so much. I crave it. I want it all the time.
We need it, right? So there's something going on in our head. So when you're on stage and you tell a joke and people respond, you had 300 people laughing at you tonight, Chelsea. Does it get any better than that?
No. To me, that's the highest high I could ever get, and I chase it all the time.
It's amazing.
It's absolutely incredible. It's like you can't buy that. It's nothing you can manufacture. It's nothing you can, I mean, just doing that and knowing that those are my words.
Yeah.
You know, they're laughing at my concepts, my delivery.
Your jokes.
It's incredible to me, and there's nothing like it in the world. So to answer your question, if I was to go into writing or go into sketch comedy or go into anything like this further, I would always do stand-up, without a doubt. That's where my love is. That's where my heart is. If I could even be, you know, I don't even, it was like being famous was always kind of a go-to, you know, but I don't even care about that anymore. If I can make a living off traveling and doing shows, yes, please, I'm in, 100%.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I think that's a good goal to have. I think you're well on your way. You're very funny. Chelsea Beers. You got a website? What's going on with you?
I do.
ChelseaBeers.com. ChelseaBeers.com.
Yeah. The last name is a little hard to spell. So
we'll
it's,
put it in the notes of the show.
Oh, so that sounds good. It. Okay. Yeah. I don't have to spell it out.
Jason Rogers just walked into the room with Gollum.
Aww.
With Gollum from fucking Lord of the Rings. Whoever this is right here. Jason Rogers, comedian, producer of American Me. American Me. That's a movie. American. What the fuck? Hold on. What's the name of your comedy show?
American Me Comedy. Thank you.
I had it right. American Me Comedy. Jason Rogers. We did a show last week together. He's going to be on the show as an official guest here before too long. He's just coming in, sitting down
nice.
On the couch.
I performed with him at the Improv.
There you go. Chelsea yeah. Bears, who is our friend here. She's sitting here with us. Chelsea just killed it, Jason. I don't know if you heard her set, if you were here for that. She just murdered it for 300 people.
Aww.
Absolutely destroyed it.
Thank you.
So Chelsea's here on the show. So ChelseaBears.com. Where else? Do you have a Twitter?
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah. Chelsea Bears.
At Chelsea Bears.
Yeah. And check out the parody that I did that went crazy. And that's the Curvy music video. Curvy, like the body type.
Yeah.
Curvy music video. That's
okay,
my
we'll
video.
Put, we'll put that in the, and we'll put everything people can find you
oh,
on there.
Yeah. That'd
listen,
be awesome.
my people that listen to the show, this is one of the funniest comics, not female comics, not funny for a girl. She's one of the funniest comics that I've worked with over the last 2 years.
Oh.
We've done 3 or 4 different shows together.
We have.
You're very funny. You're
Thank
very
you.
Consistent. Go find her. She's hilarious. You can click on her website if you're listening to this on sammarcoux.com or on iTunes, which, by the way, you motherfuckers, I know you're listening on iTunes and you're not clicking the stars. I don't care if you give me 1 star. Just click it. You know why? Because every time that they give – here's what happens in the world of podcasting.
Yeah, tell me.
So you do a podcast. People listen to it. Apple doesn't give a shit how many people listen to it. Like, I can go on my website and see how many people downloaded it, and
yeah.
it's hundreds every week, which is great for
that's,
me.
That's incredible.
It's awesome. And when I do my website – My web series, it's thousands. But iTunes doesn't see that because you have to go through iTunes.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Oh, okay.
And the only way they know it is if you actually hit the stars and you rate it and all this. Oh. So all these motherfuckers, I'm giving you free content every single week. Okay, Chelsea's giving you gold right now. She just came off stage. She did 12 to 15 minutes of murdered material. And now she's sitting here in the green room having to endure me talk while she sits there and comes up with more material to
right.
entertain you, motherfucker.
I know.
So do me a favor. Do Chelsea a favor. If you're listening through iTunes or you're listening to Stitcher or you're listening through SamMarcoux.com, rate this, okay?
Right.
Give us, I don't care if it's
because you guys are listening to this. I have to sit here and look at his face.
Yeah,
so.
She has to look at my face.
And he likes Limp Bizkit, guys. I mean, click the star.
That was my nickname in college.
That's your nickname now, bitch.
Don't talk to people. No talking to anybody. Well, Chelsea, thank you very much. Listen, you just came off stage. I accosted you with a microphone and said, sit down. Let's have a conversation. Again, this is Predictably Drunk, the podcast. Smart people talking about stupid things. Chelsea, I'm going to see you again soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
No, this is a lot of fun. We'll see you down the road. Everybody, check out ChelseaBears.com. You can follow on Twitter at ChelseaBears. You can also click on the link for her sketch for Curve. What was it?
Curvy music video.
Curvy
yeah.
music video. We're going to yeah. put that up there. And just look out for her. She's going to be taking over the world. She'll be on SNL before too long or Second City or one of these things going on over there. And look for her on a stage near you. Chelsea, thank you very
awesome.
Much.
No, Sam, thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the night. You earned it. You deserve it. And everybody out in the audience, rate me, love me, hate me. I don't give a shit. Just go ahead and click one of those stars out there. Once again, last time, Predictably Drunk. Smart people talking about stupid things. SamMarcoux.com. You can follow me on Twitter at TigerClomedy.com or Instagram at Predictably Drunk. I think it said TigerClomedy.com. There's
you
no dot com at the end of that Twitter.
You did.
I did, right?
Yeah.
That's
I was a little
else.
Confused.
Yeah. I'm not as smart as you, okay? I didn't go to college for comedy. I learned
right.
this shit on the streets, Chelsea.
So it's a smart person talking about stupid things
smart
with a
stupid,
stupid person
things.
Talking
Speaking
about...
Speaking of stupid things, Jeremy
Curry. Jeremy
Curry,
Curry ladies Curry and gentlemen.
Just walked in.
See, I thought I was the only one on the show tonight with tits, but then Jeremy...
Oh, damn.
Jokes either.
Chelsea, Chelsea coming with the fire in the back room of the green room.
Yeah, they're showing her hooters and like, okay.
That's it, right?
Nothing else. Okay.
Since we're doing this, Jeremy,
I gave her a hooters application. All right, bitch.
you can follow Jeremy in his Coupe de Ville from 1987 yeah. driving through Fremont. Do you even have a Twitter? Do you have a Twitter?
No.
Jeremy does not have a Twitter. It's 2015, dude.
Who gives a fuck?
Promoters, people that book you, give a fuck. Yeah. Yeah, you don't. That's true. I saw
well,
your set tonight. You have nothing good to say.
That's the smartest thing he said all night.
But trash. And speaking of getting trash, why don't we all go have a drink and celebrate our success here in San Francisco? Because we just, the three of us, as well as a few others, took over Cobb's Comedy Club here in San Francisco. We're now in the best green room in the Bay Area, in Northern California. We're having a great time. Chelsea Beers, thank you very much. Thank you to Jason Rogers for crashing the party. Thank you for Jeremy Curry for hanging out. This is Predictably Drunk, the podcast. Smart people talking about stupid things. Until next time, everybody, keep driving.
Bye.
Drinking. I don't fucking care. Keep drinking. Whatever. Good night.